First chapter, in the first five verses, the Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Christ Jesus our Lord, I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Now this is the verse I want to key on tonight and preach from, if the Lord help me. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, Lois, and thy mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Amen. I want to preach from that fifth verse tonight, if the Lord will help me for a little while. I want to take a text, if the Lord will come by on, will we carry the gospel on? Amen. Will we carry, Brother Clifford Hurst, will we carry the gospel on? Amen. I'm preaching to young folks around here tonight, is that right? Amen. I notice in the first five verses of the book of 1 Timothy here, Paul's writing to a young man, a young preacher, and Paul is thinking back to times probably that he has seen Timothy's grandmother. He's heard about her and no doubt was a great godly woman. The Bible tells us that it dwelt first in her. Is that right? It dwelt in his grandmother first. And he's writing Timothy a letter here, Brother Mike Allen, and he said, Timothy, my dearly beloved son, and he begins to write this letter. And after the first four verses, we see that he tells him in the fifth verse, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith which is in thee. And then he starts telling him, Timothy, I was there. I seen it in your grandmother. I know your grandmother had it, and she raised you and she taught your mother. And as she bore that baby girl, and then she raised her daughter in the fear and admonition of God. She taught her what was right and brought her and taught her the ways of the Lord. And Timothy, once she was grown, and she found her husband and they got married, and now you're here, Timothy, and time has gone on, and you've grown up now, Timothy. You've accepted the call of God. You've went to the house of God. You know what's right from wrong, and your mama has raised you right, and your grandmother has raised you right, and Timothy, I know it's in you now. And Paul's writing this young preacher a letter. I want to tell you tonight, friend, I thank God for what I know. How about you? I thank God that I have been raised in the house of the Lord, been taught right from wrong. Brother Jamie Carter, we've went to youth camps together. I'm glad that we have been raised, Brother Todd Smith, in the way of holiness. But I want to ask you as young folks tonight, I want to pose you the same question that Paul was simply posing Timothy. It was first in your grandmother, then it was in your mother. But what are you going to do with the gospel now, Timothy? Amen. I want to preach. Are we going to carry the gospel on? Amen. My grandmother was the first lady saved in our family. I know I probably told it here, but my grandmother was the first one saved. Nobody in our family had ever been saved. Nobody had ever even as much as darkened a church door from what we know. But my grandmother had went to the house of God and got saved. My grandmother would go to church when her husband would threaten to leave her and tell her, Eva, if you go back to the house of God, you're going to come home and nobody's going to be here. Oh yeah, I want to tell you something, friend. My grandmother raised her children in the house of God. It went on that her brothers and sisters got saved. She raised her children, and then now my father, which is her boy, she raised him right, and he became a minister of the gospel. Now it has dwelt down, and it's trickled right on down. And now you're looking at an offspring, a third generation. I know it don't go back as far as some, but a third generation.
nation that believes in holiness, that believes in what's right. And I'm here to tell you tonight, I thank God for grandmother, and I thank mom for my, I thank God for my father. But hey, it is on my shoulders now. Grandma has done her job, and dad has done his job, but it is in my hands. Amen. You know what bothers me? What worries me is what men and women has died for across this country, and what our elders has died trying to uphold. Our younger generation is trying to just turn a deaf ear. We don't need it for now. We're living in the 90s, man. You ought to wake up and smell the coffee. It ain't going to take that to get to heaven. It's not going to take living. I want to tell you some friend, I'm going to stay in the ways of holiness. How about you? Amen. Hey, they call us Generation X. I'm part of it. Brother Collins is a great man. I look up to him. He's one of my dear friends, a respected man all across this country. He has taught this church right. He has raised his two children. They're in the house of God, coming to the house of the Lord. His daughter is a preacher's daughter now. He has talked to these preachers and taught these preachers what was right. And you know what? One day, and I'm not being a prophet of doom, but one day we're not going to have Brother Collins around. And what Brother Collins has told us for all these years, it's going to all be null and void if we don't take it to heart and say, I'm going to live right and I'm going to uphold what I've always knew. And I want to tell you some friend, it bothers me that our younger generation is looking at our older generation and not thinking that, hey, I want to tell you something, we had better carry the gospel on. Hey, my cousin sitting right back there, she just told me on the way to church, Amber rode with us, and Amber was talking to me about things that she was raised knowing, things that she knew that was right, and she got cornered about it at school. It would have been easy to have backed down, but I thank God. How old are you, Amber? Where's Amber at? How old are you, Amber? 13? 13, 14. And I thank God for a 13, 14-year-old girl that'll walk in a public school and say, I'm not going to bow and I'm not going to bend. I'm going to stand for what I've always knew. I'm going to uphold what is right. Hey, how many young folks in here tonight is glad that we have been raised in the house of God? How many young folks in here is going to say, preacher, I'm going to carry the gospel on when grandma's dead and gone and when mom and dad's dead and gone? I'm going to carry the gospel on. I was close to my grandmother. I remember telling her that I was called to preach. I sat down at her table, Sister Collins, talked to my grandmother. I said, Grandma, I really feel like God's called me to preach. I sat down there and she went in and she got that old worn out Bible. Gray-headed grandma that still believed in holiness. She sat down, Brother Allen, at the head of the table, and she said, Brian, honey, let me talk to you for just a minute. I said, all right, Grandma, give me some advice. She said, son, nothing pleases me greater than you being in the house of God. Nothing thrills my soul more than to know you're going to preach the gospel. But she said, you've got to promise me one thing. I said, Grandma, what is it? And she said, son, if I die and go on and know that you have let down the standard and compromised what I have raised you in and went against what you know and you downgrade what is, hey, I want to tell you something. Hey, my friend, there has been those that has taught us right, and when it has been put in our hands, we try to change it all around. She said, Brian, I'll turn over in my grave if I knew that you was going to preach anything else other than what you know is right. Oh. my friend. And don't you tell me that it ain't happening. You go around our country and you walk in our churches and holiness is becoming a dead, mute issue. Hey, we're not standing for things we used to. We're not believing the things that we once preached on. Amen. I want to tell you something, Brother Allen. It is scaring me that our holiness preachers is starting to let down. But oh, I want to tell you, I thank God there's still, Brother Todd, a few of us that's going to say, I will raise up the banner of holiness. I will raise up what is right. It don't matter what happens. I'm going to believe the truth. 1 Kings, the 9th chapter, says this. Start the first verse. Says, it came to pass when Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared unto Solomon the second time as he had appeared unto Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep thy statutes and judgments. How many here has been raised in a Christian home? One way or another, you've been, your grandmother's brought you, your father, your mother. Stand if you will. You've been raised in a Christian home. I want you to stand. Look around here. How many don't want to shame the Word of God? Amen. Brother Collins, Brother Brim, we're buddies. I love you, man. This right here is my friend. He's been my friend through thick and thin. But oh, you know what I like about men like this more than anything else? You know what I do? They've been the same throughout the years, and they're going to stay the same throughout the years. And when others is come and gone, you walk right around, friend, and you look around you, and there's some of us that's still here, and some that's still preaching the Word of God, and some that's still saying, I'm going to raise up the standard of holiness. You may be seated. There's several of these next ones. You're here and you was raised in a preacher's home. I want you to stand. You was raised in a preacher's home. Is this all right? Sister Brim, your dad's a great man. He sure is. I preach for Brother Ralph Harley. I preach for Brother Collins. Hey, I know a lot of your... I preach for Brother Allen, boys. I've been right there. I know a lot of your moms and dads, and you've been raised in a preacher's home. You can be seated if you want to. I want to tell you something. I don't ever want to do anything to shame my mother and father. No, no, no. Oh, I'll tell you what. Hey, I want to stay in the ways. And that's what Paul was telling Timothy. Timothy was going to face hard times, and there was going to be times that people was going to walk around and they was going to say, Timothy, let me tell you something, son. What mama told you and what grandma told you. Come on, man. You know, we ain't going to have to live that way. Come on, Timothy. And Paul was warning a young preacher, and he said, don't you dare get sucked in by all that ungodliness that's going. Don't you dare let anybody persuade you. You stay in the way of the truth. Hey. Hey. Those of you that go to Southern Ohio Youth Camp, I was raised there my whole life, from the time I was 11 years old until Brother Brim kicked me out because I was too old to come. They couldn't get rid of me. But hey, I'll tell you what they have taught you around here is the truth. You hear me? What we have learned around here and what these men of God stand up here and preach to you till they turn blue in the face. I cherish it, friend. I hold it dear to my heart. I'm not going to let it die with this generation. How about you? I don't want it to be said that that generation has diluted the Word of God so that we don't know what's right from wrong. Let's stand up for the truth. Amen. Let's stand up for what's right. How many here? I'm preaching different. I know I am. I'm trying to preach. The Lord help me. Kids, hear me for just a minute. My father told the story right here, Brother Collins, what happened to us in New York. We've went up there. It's our night speaker next year, by the way. Proud of him, too. I got the best one in the country. That's my night speaker sitting right back there. We started youth camp 2 years ago, Brother Todd. When the voodoo doctors would send them children home with the voodoo dolls right there in the public school. And they was teaching them about witchcraft. There was a man in New York that stood up for what was right and said no. Took a stand against the world and took a stand for what was right. Hey, I want to tell you something, young folks. I watched them young people around that altar on Thursday night pray for 3 hours and 15 minutes long. Yeah, we had persecution all around us and there was those coming around. There's only about 38 or 40 of us in the second year. We was right in a big town. I mean, everybody around. We had kids coming from Syracuse and everywhere. Brother Farley, but you know what they're saying? There's a bunch of crazy kids down there. Why they think they're doing? Why they think they're trying to pull hell? I'll tell you something, friend. It don't matter what the world tells me. You're looking at a preacher that's going to stand up for what's right and going to stand up for the truth until the day I die. They ain't going to shut me up. I'm going to preach the gospel of God. Jamie Carter, stand up. Dennis, he stand up. Todd, how many here? This ain't none of my notes. I don't even have notes. Hardly. How many here when Southern Ohio Youth Camp got called to preach? Preachers from that camp. Anybody here? Brother James, you get called to Southern Ohio. You was there. Stand up, Brother James. Right there. Anyone else? Hey, you look around you. When others would come, and when others would talk, when others would come, and they would let us have down the road, Brother James, because they just didn't understand why we tried to take it. So, hey, you look around you at some of these. Hey, there's some product, Brother Brim, that you can be proud of that said, you know what I told somebody? They said, who had, and I'm not saying this because he's here. I'm not. You can ask my wife. Somebody asked me the other day. They said, who has had the most impact on your life and especially in your ministry? I said, David Brim. And they said, how come? I said, because he was my director at camps when I was going. He was my friend. He talked to me when I tried to get started. I want to tell you something. Yeah, I appreciate him. But if he's gone tomorrow, I'm going to stand up and say, the truth is still the truth. And the gospel is still the gospel. And I'm going to uphold it till the day I die. Praise God. You can be seated. Second Chronicles. I'm not preaching much longer. 2 Chronicles 17th chapter in the first verse. Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead, strengthened himself against Israel, placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah, set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam, but sought unto the Lord God of his father and walked in the commandments and not after the doings of Israel. And then the 20th chapter and the 31st verse, listen to this. And Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 25 years. If I can add, that's till he was 60. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhai. And he walked in the way of Asa, his father, and departed not from it. Doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Jehoshaphat, what'd you do with the Word of God? What'd you do with the gospel? I cherished it. I held it close. I stayed in the way of my father. Yes, I did. Timothy, what'd you do with the gospel? I went on to be a preacher of the gospel. Why, Timothy? Because my grandmother instilled it in me, and my dad, my mother instilled it in me, and now I've got it, and I'm going to uphold the Word of God. And now I want to ask you young folks tonight, what are you going to do with the gospel? There was a time that I came to these youth rallies just to be coming. I wasn't serious. Yeah. Then there came a time in my life it come down to business. I want to ask you, friend, what are you going to do with this right here? How many's got their Bibles with them tonight? I want to see them. You got your Bible, I want you to raise it as high as you can. What are you going to do with that right there? What are you going to do? Come here, Brother Collins. See, I'm 28 years old, and he's about 39. Somewhere in there, ain't you? But hey, twice. But hey, this man right here. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to preach the same gospel he's preaching. I'm going to stand for the same things he's standing for. You're here tonight. 19 and under, I want you to stand. I'm getting ready to close. I preach what I feel like God gave me. I wish I could have done a little better. Brother Farley. Your uncle. I was preaching revival in Broken Arrow. Brother, there's so many churches in Broken Arrow. I was preaching revival in Broken Arrow for Brother Brewer. Brother Junior Brewer. Brother Farley's uncle come walking in. Brother Farley preached that Sunday morning. I was in revival there, and Brother Farley preached for me. I loved it. I sat back, just a young preacher, 26 years old at the time. And I looked up there at a man that had been there years before I was ever thought of. Had carried the gospel a whole lot longer than me. And I look down. I'm not saying it because, brother, I mean, I've done this with more than one. I look down, there's Brother Farley who's preaching and telling experiences he's been through. And I said, Lord, I want to carry the gospel like men like that. Yeah.